presenting A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Once upon a Christmas Eve, on a mean and shabby street in London, stood the warehouse of Scrooge and Marley. Marley was 7 years dead, but Scrooge never bothered to paint out the name. It was a waste of time, paint, and money. Ooh, he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, was Ebenezer Scrooge. A squeezing, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner. A frosty rind was on his head, on his eyebrows, and on his wiry chin. The cold within him iced his office in dog days and didn't thaw at 1 degree at Christmas. A fact that could be attested to by Bob Cratchit, his overworked and shivering clerk. And what did Scrooge think of Christmas? Listen.
And what do you think you're about to do with that coal scuttle, Mr. Cratchit?
You see, my stove's gone out, Mr. Scrooge.
Tell me, Mr. Cratchit, do you like working here?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, sir.
Have need of the 15 bob a pay every week?
Oh, yes. You see, there's my wife and Tiny Tim and Belinda and my...
I suggest you forget the fire and get back to work. Unless you prefer to keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. It won't happen again, Mr. Scrooge.
And chase that blasted sweep away from the door. Christmas carols. Bah!
A Merry Christmas and God save you, Uncle.
May the Lord pity you, nephew. Humbug.
Oh, come now. You don't mean that.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
And what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Bah. Humbug.
Now, don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this out upon Merry Christmas? What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of years presented dead against you?
Uncle!
If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart!
Uncle!
Nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then.
Won't you at least come and dine with us tomorrow?
Good afternoon, nephew.
Christmas Day, you know.
Good afternoon.
Well, if I don't see you, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And, Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Please understand we're not asking for a large donation, Mr. Scrooge. Even a small sum will provide a brighter Christmas for the poor and destitute.
What amount may we put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be let alone.
Mr. Scrooge!
I don't make myself merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help support the prisons and workhouses. Heaven knows they cost enough. Those who are badly off can go there.
Many would rather die than go there.
If they would rather die, they had better do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I find it quite enough for a man to mind his own business and not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon!
Cold and dark when Scrooge left the ancient warehouse and made his way to the lowering pile of building where he had a gloomy suite of rooms. Since Marley's death, none lived there but Scrooge. Then, as he put his key in the lock of the door, a strange thing happened.
That door knocker, I could have sworn it was Marley's face. Bah! Humbug!
Scrooge entered, then locked, and double-locked the door behind him. He wasn't a man to be frightened by a door knocker. He lit his candle and started up the stairs, his footsteps echoing through the quiet house. Down below in the cellar, as if someone were dragging a heavy chain.
What's that?
The sound grew louder on the cellar stairs, rose higher in the empty halls below, then clanged and clattered on the stairs behind Scrooge as he fled. Scrooge closed the door of his room and locked it.
It's humbug, Stim. I won't believe it.
Then, as though part of the fog outside, the ghost of Jacob Marley passed through the closed and locked door.
What do you want?
Much, much, Ebenezer.
Begone, begone. I don't believe in you.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little drink affects them. A very slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. Why, you might be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, or a fragment of underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you. Oh, no, no, please, please don't do that. I beg of you.
Oh, man of worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, if it'll make you any happier, Jacob. But why do spirits walk the earth? And why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men.
Yes, yes, Jacob.
But if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
But why do you have to wear that heavy chain, Jacob? That chain of cash boxes and keys and padlocks and ledgers and deeds and swollen purses.
It is the one I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard.
But why should you be so accursed, Jacob? You were always a good man of business.
Business! Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance were all my business.
But Jacob...
Hear me!
I will, Jacob. Yes, I will, Jacob.
You may still have a chance of escaping my fate.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Three, Jacob?
Receive them. And for your own sake, remember what has passed between us.
Jacob, wait. Wait, Jacob. Don't leave me, Jacob.
Look to see me no more. Farewell,
Jacob.
Ebenezer.
Jacob. Wait, Jacob. Jacob.
Scrooge.
Who are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past,
Rise and walk with me.
What? In my slippers, dressing gown, and nightcap?
Come. We will leave by the window.
Oh, no, no, no. That's very well for spirits, but I'm only a mortal, and I'm liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand thus on your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Just below us, Ebenezer Scrooge. Do you know this place?
Why, yes, of course I know it, Spirit. I was a boy here. See, there's the old schoolhouse.
An ugly, lifeless place.
It was Christmas Day. All the boys had gone home for the holidays.
All? Who is that lonely child left behind and chided for his tears by the schoolmaster?
I was that child, Spirit.
How now, Master Ebenezer? No tears, if you please. There's nothing more degrading than self-pity. Besides, Christmas isn't at all important.
A very wise man, the schoolmaster. Don't you agree, Ebenezer?
Of course I don't agree. Why, Christmas is a very important time to a child. Poor boy, I wish. Oh, well, it's too late now.
What is it?
Oh, nothing, nothing much. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol outside my warehouse. I wish I'd given him something, that's all.
Yes. Come, let us see another Christmas. Now we are in the city, and that lonely boy is older. Do you know this warehouse, Ebenezer?
Know it? Of course I know it. I was apprenticed to your Spirit.
Were you happy?
Oh, yes, yes, I was very happy, Spirit. My employer was such a kind man, and why, bless my heart, there he is. It's old Fezziwig. Old Fezziwig alive again.
Yo-ho-ho, lads. No more work tonight. Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer. We're having a party.
A party, Mr. Fezziwig?
Yes, yes, yes. The fiddler's all ready. Clear away, lads. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Have life in it. Christmas Eve, you know. The best time of the year. God bless it.
Very simple and foolish man, old Fezziwig.
Nonsense, Spirit. Why, he was one of the greatest men alive.
Indeed.
I only wish.
Yes.
Nothing. I was just thinking of my own clock, Bob Cratchit.
Strange, but my time grows short. Prepare yourself to meet the spirit of Christmas present.
Spirit, don't leave me alone.
Be not afraid, Ebenezer Scrooge. Behold in me the spirit of Christmas presents.
But the place is strange. Where are we?
There below us lies Camden Town.
Camden Town, Spirit? That's where my clerk, Bob Cratchit, lives.
Yes, and there is the poor roof that shutters his family. Come, we will go inside.
And thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings we are about to receive. Amen. And what do you say, Tiny Tim? God bless us, everyone. Oh, he behaved as good as gold in church today, dear. You know, he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much. He thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me coming home that he hoped people saw him in church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. Poor boy. Poor boy.
Why are there tears in your eyes, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Cratchit never told me the boy was lame, Spirit.
He has worn that iron brace and carried that little crutch ever since he can remember. But my time is up. Goodbye,
wait,
Ebenezer.
Wait, Spirit. Tell me this before you leave me.
Yes.
Tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat and a crutch without the owner.
Oh, no, no, don't say that,
if
Spirit.
If those shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child must die.
No, Spirit, no!
Would it not be better if he does? As you once said, it will decrease the surplus population.
No, Spirit.
Farewell, Ebenezer.
Spirit!
The ghost of Christmas yet to come.
No, Spirit!
Face, I fear you more than any of the other specters. Are you the ghost of Christmas yet to come? Don't tell me. I know you are here to show me shadows of the future. Lead on, Spirit. Lead on. The night is fading fast, and time is precious to me, I know, but why are we back in the city? Why do you bring me here to my counting house? Why do we mingle with the merchants and why do we see them, and they not see us?
I don't know much about it. All I know is that he's dead.
When did it happen?
Last night, I do believe.
It's about time. I was beginning to think he'd never die.
Merciful heaven, Spirit, of whom do they speak?
Let the charwoman be first, the laundress second, and the undertaker third. Help yourself to his possessions. After all, every person has a right to take care of himself. He always did. Don't just stand there, woman. Stop staring as if you were afraid. Who'll be the wiser? Take what you like. Sheets, towels, boots, even the blankets. He isn't likely to catch cold without him now, I dare say.
Spirit, this is a fearful place. I dare not watch any longer. Let us go. If there is any person who feels emotion caused by this man's death, show me that person, Spirit. I beseech you. Why, we're back at the home of my clerks. But why are the Cratchits so quiet?
He did so enjoy our walks, with him up on my shoulder. He'd always ask, am I too heavy for you, Father? And I'd answer, as heavy as a feather, Tiny Tim. Heavy as a feather. I wish you'd been with me today. It would do your heart good to see how lovely it is out there. But then, you'll see it often. I promised him we'd walk there on Sundays. My little boy. My little child.
Oh, Spirit. Spirit, something tells me that our parting time draws near. I know it, but I know not why. Answer me this one question, Phantom of the Future. Who was that man they spoke of? Why do you not speak? What place is this? So cold and piercing, so dark and foreboding, so shrouded with mist and fog, so damp. Why, it's a churchyard, a burial ground overgrown by grass and weeds, the resting place of those forgotten and unloved. And why do you point to that stone? What name is written there that I must read? The letters are too dim, the fog too heavy. Tell me, Spirit, who rests in this lonely, untended earth?
You are that man, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Spirit! Spirit! Spirit, I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this night. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Hear me, Spirit, and tell me that I may sponge away the writing on that terrible stone. Spirit! Spirit! Do you hear me, Spirit? Spirit! Why, you're not a spirit at all. You're my own bedpost. This isn't a graveyard. It's my own room. Yes, and there's the door where I saw Marley's ghost. And there's the window where the first spirit... It's broad daylight. No fog. No mist. It's a beautiful sunny day. And people on the street all dressed in their best. And church bells, too.
Oh, boy. Boy, you down there.
Yes, sir.
What day's today, my fine fellow?
What day? Why, this is Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day? Christmas Day? Then I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Hello down there.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the butcher shop at the corner?
Oh, I should hope so, sir.
An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey?
The little one?
No, no, the big prize turkey.
It's hanging there right now, sir.
Go tell him to bring it here. Yes, sir, come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back in less than 5 minutes and you'll get half a crown.
Yes, sir!
Look at him run. I'll send it off to Bob Cratchit and he shan't know who sent it. What a joke it'll be. Why, it's twice the size of Tiny Tim. Now let me see. I'd better get dressed. I've got so much to do. It's going to be a busy day. Yes, sir. A very busy day.
And it was a busy day. Ebenezer Scrooge was out observing Christmas in the merriest way, and he looked so delighted and irresistibly pleasant that people just couldn't resist speaking to him.
Good morning, sir. A Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Yes, and he stopped to pat children on the head.
Hello, son. Merry Christmas, my boy.
And he shocked the portly gentleman who was collecting for the poor and needy the day before by donating a token the likes of which he had never before received.
Lord bless me. Mr. Scrooge, you're not serious.
Never more serious in all my life, and not a farthing less. And you, sir, will do me a great big favor by visiting my office on a regular basis.
I will. Thank you, Mr. Scrooge. Thank you.
Scrooge went to church and walked about the streets and watched people hurrying to and fro, and he gave shillings to beggars.
God bless you, Mr. Scrooge.
And he even went calling on his nephew, and his nephew's wife kissed him. Oh, but he had a wonderful time and a wonderful Christmas. The morning after Christmas, he was early at the office. Scrooge wanted to be there first, and he wanted to catch Bob Cratchit coming in late.
Well, Mr. Cratchit, you finally got here, did you? Look at that clock. What do you mean coming in at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Scrooge. It won't happen again.
Indeed it won't. Step over here to my desk, if you please.
But it's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse. A poor sort of excuse, Mr. Cratchit. I'm not going to stand for this kind of thing any longer. And therefore, my friend, I'm about to raise your salary.
What was that, sir?
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I've given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. Now make up the fire and buy a larger coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
And Scrooge was even better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other good old city or borough in the good old world. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us.
And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
And so ends Charles Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol, but for another year. The part of Ebenezer Scrooge, Bob Cratchit, all voices heard, including Christmas past, present, and future, were portrayed by Carl Bannis, who produced and directed this special presentation. In charge of sound and technical operation was production assistant Dave Spencer. Script by Charles Dickens. This stereo presentation of The Christmas Story was produced in the studios of CKFM Toronto. Now, for our entire cast, this is Carl Banas, wishing each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas.